to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it?
Yes.
Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Hello and welcome back to Dr. Jack's. I'm Tom Ali's Mr. Mel Weber on the board. We also have Mr. Frank Fahey. Shall we say there's enough news this weekend to cover maybe a couple of shows? Just saying. S&P futures down 1.25, NASDAQ futures down 27. So with Maddie as our navigator, since he's our, you know, with the pulse on Chicago's traffic and weather, we managed to get in reasonably okay, Maddie. What do you think?
Of course, we had to break curfew, but we did. Yeah, everything they said on the radio about all the exits off of the Kennedy were going to be closed, and they all looked open to me.
Yeah,
and we were able to take our normal route right into downtown without any issue. Now, of course, Chief has the Chicago police plates on, and he's parked in an empty lot right now, so I don't feel great about that.
No, I might have to cover him or just go home after the show. Put in the garage.
Hey, you go home after the show. You can trace them home. Hey, question. Do you have replacement insurance on that beast?
I don't think it can be replaced, right?
It's irreplaceable.
Well, then that's a lot of money.
How do you replace a 1999 Suburban Secret Service 3/4-ton special build package?
I don't know. But you're not going to replace it with the salvage value of $800.
No, that would not work.
No, it would not.
Maddie and I were talking on the way in. Do you believe the amount of news and various stuff we've had to cover on this show in the last 8 years? I mean, if you wrote fiction like this, you'd be put in an asylum somewhere if we still had asylums.
Yeah.
It's called dystopian.
Yeah. So I'm reading the,
go ahead.
I don't know, there's so many things that kind of come to mind, and you look at what the films of what was going on yesterday, and you look at what I honestly believe is a total failure in leadership all across the board. I don't know, maybe it's just these people don't remember stuff, Frank, that we remembered, and I was watching, and we'll end up skipping around here because it's all the same subject. The idea that we're bringing in 375 National Guard troops, right? And but don't worry, we are.
Minneapolis brought in 5,000 in Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean we're only going to put them like on the express. Are politicians that naive to think any of these people that are looting give a rat's behind about this guy in Minnesota? This has become organized. I don't know how.
That has nothing to do. Let's not confuse looting and the protests.
I understand it, but what I'm
because
saying is,
I just don't. I see this across social media, and I think it's insane because they're two entirely different.
Well,
things.
But they. Okay, I'm not arguing with that part. But how is it that something like this looting? I mean, our police, the police force, not the police men and women, I think Frank has been, in any sense of an effective police force, they've been pretty much useless. That's too strong a word. They're behind the times. They are ill-trained. I know people who have, for years now, if somebody breaks into your car, they give you the accident report. They call the insurance company. Don't bother us. In every instance, and we were hit with one of these several years ago, every instance of online stealing, online abuse, any kind of money, and Mattio works for a firm that does this kind of security, they are useless. When Matty Weber got his credit card, this is years ago, Matty, would you have you got an ATM machine and it stole money out of your place? The guy keyed the machine or something. How long ago was that?
A few years ago, yeah.
I mean, you didn't even attempt to call the police. What's the point?
No, the bank covers it.
Well, okay, but I mean, but they shouldn't have to. It's a crime. I mean, they should have to, Okay, but it still doesn't mean that you don't go after anybody like that. You don't care. Just because the bank covers it doesn't mean it's not stealing. It's just the same as holding somebody up for $200, right? So, I mean, they've basically bowed out of any sort of, how is it that this went from, like what Frank says, a peaceful protest, to, which, you know, and we'll talk about that in a second, a peaceful protest to where all of a sudden people with big trucks and cars showed up at liquor stores together to rob the place. I mean, how does that communication even work? I mean, do I have a list of 30 people on my cell phone in case there's ever a riot, I find five places I'd like to loot and I call these 12 guys and we all go loot? I mean, how does this even take place? This is like a rave party.
It's organized crime. Tom.
Right, but I mean, how does it...
The gangs.
How does it get organized? How are the police not even... I was watching this thing in Calumet City last night on Channel 9, and these guys are right, women too. They don't care. They're being filmed and they don't give a crap. Their faces are right in front of the camera. They're right on there. The license plates of the cars that are backing up to the front door. Nobody cares. How do we get that kind of disdain for law enforcement? And how does that guy not figure that next week when this is all over is going to be knocking on the door saying, by the way, here you are on tape. We're impounding your car. If you're on any sort of welfare or you're getting money from the government, that's gone. And by the way, we're arresting you.
I mean, how about if you have a job, you get fired, too?
Yeah, but
come on. Don't assume that all these people are on welfare.
Okay, but I'm saying, whatever it is, the car gets... how does somebody have that kind of stones to do that? If I ever thought I'd steal something, which I've never done, if I ever thought I'd steal something, the thought of pulling up in broad daylight to a liquor store with my police plates on my Suburban and walking out with 30 cases of beer and throwing them in the back of the thing would never even cross my mind. What sort of attitude are we talking about? What kind of disrespect for anything the rest of us believe in this society? What about the poor bastard who owns the place? We don't care about him. So, okay, now what happens now? Okay, the police say, we can't protect your place. We don't even care. They maybe care, but they're not going to protect it. We're not going to arrest anybody. At least at one of these points, when you can't arrest everybody, you should show up, and if there's 10 places being looted, at least go grab everybody at two of the places. Make it somewhat of a risk for the other eight going, hey, maybe they'll be here next. You can't just do nothing, Frank. I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
Well, you talked about the leadership. It starts at the top. Where's the president been for 3 days? His last tweets were blaming the Democrats. Fake news. Actually, has two fake news reports in a row. And law and order. That's it.
Well,
I mean, we've had presidents I don't like that have the balls to come up and talk to the American people.
Well, yeah.
This man is a Ken doll. And he isn't even as good looking as Ken.
Well, but you have
not as smart.
Okay,
but you have
three people in our line of leadership here. Not one of them has ever been in a crisis situation. Not one of them has any sort of background that when something bad like this happens, you can see how they performed before. We've got an electorate that will vote for Mark Cuban. They'll vote for Oprah. They'll vote for, you know, whatever, Barbie.
Hogan.
You know, yeah, I mean, we don't even, there's this alderman last night, ninth ward, which is, I guess, must be over by Roseland. And they got, I would imagine he's black. I don't know. I mean, doesn't really matter. I mean, it's a thing. I'm colorblind, so I don't even care. I listen to what the guy says. He doesn't have to be on film. He goes, what are we doing? He goes, 375 National Guard people. There's a fire in this place. Somebody just set. They're looting those four places. There's no police here. He goes, this is my ward. These people own these places. He goes, what are we doing? We need to have people show up here, arrest these people, protect these people's property. That's what government does. I mean, that's what people pay for, right? I mean, so
this guy's not bad. He was the one handing out free masks to everybody in his ward.
Yeah,
that's real leadership.
Yeah.
Not don't wear a mask. Here's a mask and wear it. There's a huge difference.
There's something going on here, Frank. In the one over on the east side, over by Hyde Park, they must have had 100 idiots. A lot of them girls. You know, we wonder what they're doing there. But they're everybody's there hoping for a riot because they've got their cell phone. They want to get it on tape. What is the mentality here? I'm gonna go see if I can film a riot. I mean, for God's sake. I mean, this is what is. I absolutely do not get. And then yesterday, I was driving back and forth, and I'm listening to News Radio 78. What is it about? I mean, everybody knows that the thought of the policeman in Minnesota is a horrendous thing, but we also know there's a lot of bad people in this world. A few of them happen to be cops. A lot of them aren't cops, and there's a lot of bad people. And once in a while, something like this happens, and it's horrible.
See, Tom, when you say once in a while, we see somebody killed on tape, okay, by a cop.
Okay, this year...
But the abuse is constant, if you talk to people that live there. And systemic. And I shouldn't say constant,
but
it happens with enough regularity.
What do you suppose...
There is a systemic racism that is not reined in. Blue silence is a true thing.
I'm just saying, don't ever... This year... Okay, there's been in Chicago. There's been how many murders? I'm sitting here looking at this. There's been year to date total shot 1,148 people. Five of them have been police shootings. I don't know if they're justified or not. Let's say they weren't. I think they probably were because we'd have heard something different. I mean, this is. And this thing in Minnesota, like I said, I will never. Everybody knows me well enough to know I could never condone something. How the hell could somebody do that to somebody? Yet here I am Saturday night in Chicago, and Sunday morning
gangbangers
from 205
organized crime are shooting
each
other.
What I'm saying, Frank, is
impunity because they know nothing's going to happen, and cops beat the snot out of people or treat you like crap. Because they know nobody's going to do anything, including their partner.
We also have. I mean, I'm going to. Yes, I would say that my dad was a policeman. What I understand, he was a terrific person. I was very young when he died.
I know lots of policemen.
But I'm saying everyone could probably name three or five people that don't belong on a force. But this idea that somehow or another, this person's life in Minnesota, everybody's life is very important. Obviously, this guy. But here I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Saturday night here in Chicago, these people's lives are important too, Frank. Do we not care? There's three people who were shot and killed downtown for God's sake.
No, people really don't care.
Yeah.
Because they're poor. That's what they don't care about.
I do.
They care more about a guy's camera store than nine people who were shot. Come on. We're talking about they care more about rich people's property.
Well, here's a guy, 119 West Hubbard, downtown, 11 o'clock Saturday night. That's 20 South Michigan, 400 South Walls.
I know where it is.
400 South Walls is right in front of our office, for God's sake. And that guy survived, or at least until now. This is insanity all over the place. I've never seen anything like this where there's the total lack of any sort of law enforcement. I don't know what it would be like, Frank, to be a policeman in one of those areas where every single night there's gunshots flying all over the place. I mean, you arrest the same people all the time. At some point, I don't think you should ever lose it to the point where, but how does it not affect you? And then you have mayors saying that the solution is let everybody out of jail. Well, they're there for a reason, for God's sake.
No, Tom, we have a bail problem. That's a separate discussion.
I understand that, but you and I don't have a bail.
Not everybody out of jail. There's people in jail that shouldn't be there. And what are they running in jail?
But the lion's share of people that are in jail are there for the fifth time, and they should be there. I mean,
I don't know the percentages.
Okay,
but you're probably right. A lot of them are, and they should be there.
I mean, we're looking at a society that is screwed up. I mean, we've got a mayor who can't wait to pay people that voted for her. All right, and last week I get this thing one of our guys sent. I don't know if it was you or somebody. Had to do with since we're teaching online and we close the schools, which I still think was a really dumb idea, but we close the schools. Let's say, okay, maybe I'm wrong, who knows, but I think I'm right. We close the school, there's 2,200 kids we haven't even accounted for. They've never once come online.
And I bet none of them live in Lincoln Square or Lincoln Park.
Well, I'm just saying.
It's part of a systemic attitude against poor people.
Well, but why close?
They don't care.
But why close the place? And so then, and they're talking about all the seniors that are averaging checking in 3 days a week. And yet the mayor will come out and say, it's okay, we're going to have a remote graduation so nobody can sit next to each other. Sitting next to each other at this point is who cares? But don't worry, Oprah's going to speak, so it's okay. No, it's not. These people have lost the last, 3 months of schooling? In a lot of areas? Everybody's getting paid. And a lot of these kids don't eat at home, so they don't have the breakfast and lunch at school. That's a problem. School should be open just for that, for God's sake. I mean, this the leadership right down the line. It is, what is this, just protecting and paying the people for voting for you? I mean, what are we doing here?
Well, it starts at the top. Where's our voice of hope?
I tell you what.
At the very top.
I will say something that I never thought I'd say. Never thought I'd say in my lifetime. After this weekend, after what's going on, after the amount of money that's being wasted in areas where, I mean, it's not just the white people. It's the people that are continually paying for this. I mean, we're talking about $16,000 a year going to every high school student. I believe it's probably more now. It's a couple of years ago. Every high school student in the city. I guess it's probably 12 or 13 for grammar school. And at the end of age 18 or whatever, nobody passes their college board. Not nobody. I mean, there's some really good public schools. A lot of people don't pass their public boards. The teachers don't, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm not saying the teachers cannot cover up for a bad home life. I mean, you can try all you want, but it's pretty hard to do. So the entire systemic area, people are looking and saying, how much more money do I have to give for a product that clearly is not working? I mean, we're talking about people.
Well, you know where it does work. If they stay in school, they aren't on the street.
Well, I do not disagree.
And people ignore that.
I do not disagree that. But we have a system where unwed parents have kids. The grandmother gets paid to take care of the kid. Okay, we're not going to pay the mother for having a kid out of wedlock. Society wouldn't do that. So we've got to find a guardian. All right, the guardian's the grandmother. So the grandmother's got four kids, getting paid for all four of them. The father we don't care about. He's long gone. We don't try and track him down. And we don't have any care about the mother as another kid. I mean, we're talking about several generations of stuff we know that doesn't work. And yet, we can't seem to fix it. We've got the older guys having the guys that are under 17 shooting everybody, so they know that they're juveniles. Well, I guess you could be tried as a... I mean, no, this stuff does not work, Frank. And to put a policeman into this mess, I don't know what kind of training, what you'd need for somebody to do that for 25 years and not come out somewhat... I'm not just talking about the white guys. I'm talking about the black guys, too.
No, I agree.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a totality to this mess. And here's what I would never thought I would say privately around here. If we had some guy, some maniac with a cheesy mustache right now, running for office here and said, don't worry, none of this will happen on my watch. It'll be safe to walk down the block. You're not going to get your place looted. I tell you, the man is going to get 1 million votes. Because right now, people are tired of this crap. On all levels. I think. And I mean, and you know, I'm not the enraged white guy. I'm not. But this is not working. It is not working.
Well,
what are our taxes going
to
be?
Plenty of chances to deal with the underclass.
Well,
creating more of an underclass by sending manufacturing jobs overseas.
Yeah.
Destroying the unions starting in 1980.
Yep.
And I know I'm upsetting an awful lot of your other contributors, but I see this. This is the end game where. I had a VP of U.S. Rubber that lived next door to me when we lived in a $20,000 cement slab house. He probably made $40,000 a year in 1970. How much would that guy make right now?
Oh, millions.
Millions.
Well, not a U.S.
This is
what's
happening to the country.
He probably wouldn't have made so much
of
U.S. Rubber.
How many times the salary of an average employee was he making? Two and a half times?
Two and a half times.
Then?
The chairman at Pullman made probably 10 times more than a guy on the line.
Well, fine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind working for AMD and making $5 million a year. 10 times, you made 50.
Yeah, well.
I mean, that's part of the problem.
Well, sure it is.
enrich themselves rather than, there's no concept of common good.
Well, let me ask you this.
For the country.
So we decide we can't protect or didn't protect Central Camera. Now the guys, if he has insurance, they're going to pay once, maybe. I don't know what that, I never had commercial insurance. Mandy, do you have general insurance for anything anybody loots? I don't know. Let's say
good
you
question.
Do. So now the city's broke, the state's broke. I hope the guy makes some money, so now his state income tax, God knows what Jay's going to run it up to if he wins his amendment. What would possess this guy, other than some kind of false loyalty to something, what would possess him to open that place up, Frank, again? I got to believe his property tax in the next 4 years double if he owns a building, because it looks like it's a little tiny building. Is he part of a big building? I don't know. I haven't gone by there in so long. I don't know if he's a renter or what he is, but either way, say he's, the property tax over there double. His income taxes are going to, in the state, are probably going to at least double. And I'm going to say, if he can get insurance, what's that going to do? Quadruple? What would possess this guy to open that place up again? What possessed the strip mall guy on 53rd and Pulaski, where our guy who let us in here just told me they were rioting over there? He goes, guys, we're peeing at the policeman. I'm sure somebody's got that on tape and happy as a clam because he caught it on tape. But the thought of me going to a riot and peeing at a policeman, for God's sake, Frank. I mean, what are we doing? I mean, we're disrespecting individual people. We're disrespecting a city. You disrespect yourself. I mean, this city may not come back from any of this crap because we've got so many things going on here that are negative. What possesses somebody to want to move their, you think McDonald's would have moved their headquarters downtown this year? You think they can go get their place back in Oak Brook? I mean,
They tore it down. It needed to be torn down.
It was a little old, yeah.
But they sold the land.
Yeah. So, I mean, it takes all kinds of work to build something up. It doesn't take very much work to tear it down.
Hey, but they looted the Best Buy in Lombard, which is only about a mile and a half from there.
So how is it that they looted 95th, was it the Walmart, 95th and Western, too, Oak Lawn? Greg was talking to his buddy, the mayor of Blue Island. They had a couple places looted. They had so what? Everybody else is looting? I don't get the mentality. I never had it. It seems like there's a couple different kinds of people in the world. Then we'll go through the floor one. But when Jan and I used to drive from the South Side back in the days, there's some people, if you actually saw a policeman have a guy over on the side, you know, pinch for speeding. There's an old-time term, pinched. Some people will slow down thinking the policemen are actually watching today. And there's another group of society that says, well, he's busy with that guy. He can't catch me and speed up. Or if the traffic is very, somebody would hit the shoulder and start heading to their shoulder. And Jan and I would call out, you know, hey, people to the shoulder. Immediately, 10 other people would say, this guy's getting away with something. I need to, too. And we'd all hit the shoulder and start running with him. The minute the first guy. So what do you, I'm so curious about this, and I'll never know the answer. If people are at home watching TV and they see people start looting downtown, who picks up, who picks up the phone, I have visions of somebody doing it on their wall phone, and calls 30 other people and said, bring your pickup trucks, we're going to go grab this place.
It's called organized crime.
But
they have that telephone.
But how, you're saying this organized crime network is always there bubbling under the surface?
No, the gangs have been for years. Back when we went to college, the Peacestone Nation had almost 10,000 people.
Okay, but
the vice lords, the insane vice lords, right, had about 6,000.
Right,
Spanish Cobras had about 4,000.
I understand that.
Now they're a little smaller.
So you're saying the Spanish Cobras are the people that went out to Tinley Park?
I mean, no, it could have been the insane Deuces. It could have been the Harrison Gents, and they break down and they have groups of 30 to 100 people that are part of these different gangs.
All right, so you're saying
always been there.
Who do you think looted Tinley Park? Right by you.
What did they get? They arrested two people for trying to break in to a jewelry store. I know that, a mile from me. I don't know who did it. Well, I'm not a cop. I'm not part of gang crime.
Well, I'm just asking. I don't know if there's 30 people in Tinley Park waiting at the phone to go loot somewhere.
Plus, you also have the fact of social media, where they create these flash mobs.
Yeah, it's like a rave party.
So that's what happens. But that's a social affinity group.
To me, the thought of me sitting at home when I'm 25 years old, pissed off because I didn't have a softball or basketball game that day, for the phone to ring and said, "Hey, everybody's looting downtown. Let's go loot the Walmart." For me, hop into my truck and run over there. By the way, bring that big Suburban. We can really put stuff in there. I can't even imagine that. Can you, Maddie?
But who were these white guys in all black with the designer protester clothes, the ninja clothes?
Yeah.
That had steel bars breaking out windows.
Well, they're
25 and without a job, probably.
Well, the
weren't
people
swinging their bat like a.
Yeah, the people in Cal City hauling the beer out of the place. I'm going to say half of them were white. It was like an equal opportunity liquor store.
Right. Oh, yeah, I think they did get the Binnie's near us. I think every Binnie's was hit. Yeah. So yeah, people sat around and waited to see if they were going to get Binnie's.
All right, Frank. We got a dash, buddy. Thank you very much. Take care. Don't go out there and get arrested by looting stuff. S&P futures are afraid of it.
No.
NASDAQ futures down 14. But make sure you keep a social distance, especially when rioting. We'll be right back, Mr. John Flanagan.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter: the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason.
I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and try to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holly, Mr. Weber on the board. We have Mr. John Flanagan with us. Before we even get to the sports report, one of my favorite Bears of all time died. Roosevelt Taylor. I mean, what's his name? Yeah, Rosie Taylor. Teamed up with Richie Pettibone. Richie Pettibone was the strong safety, and Rosie was the weak safety. And who were the other two people in the backfield, Manny?
It's a little before my time, so I don't know.
Billy McCray and Dave Witzel.
Yeah, this was on the 63 championship team.
Yeah, the defensive front four, as I remember it, was Obradovich and Atkins. And there was Bob Kilcullen. It was Earl Leggett, Stan Jones. Stan Jones, an Hall of Famer. Doug Atkins, a Hall of Famer. Bill George, a Hall of Famer. Phil Fortunato might have been if he didn't. He was like the Doug Buffon of his era. Played next to a Hall of Famer and was really, really good. But anyway. Rosie was one hell of a player. He was about on a par with the guy on Green Bay who just died, Willie Wood. They're probably the two best free safeties around. Anyway, Dow futures up 46. We're kind of a mixed bag here. S&P futures up 2. NASDAQ futures down 16. We were down last night with all stuff going on, but we bounced back this morning. DAX not so. Down 194. Their last trade was 529, so they are not open today for some reason. The FTSE, however, is open. They're up 78, 1.2%. CAC around up 66, 1.4. Over in Asia, we've got, Nikkei up 184. That's 0.8%. Shanghai up 63, 2.2%. Hang Seng up 771, 3.3%. So we're bouncing up in Asia. Bonds, 10-year, 0.66, right about where it's been. 1 minus 0.41, right where it's been. Japan, positive, 0.005 today as they flip back and forth a little bit over that zero line. Oil down 11 cents, 35.38. Brent up 20 cents, so nothing much going on in the oil market. Natural gas down 8 cents, 176. RBOB back over a buck at $1.07. Gold, we've got gold down $9 if it was up Thursday, Friday. We had 17.42. Silver up 5 cents, 18.55. What do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. Traffic's wild.
Yeah, 37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. As far as traffic is concerned, we do have a couple of issues out there. First of all, on the Edens, on the outbound side of the Edens at Lake Avenue, that exit ramp to Lake Avenue is closed. It doesn't say why. I assume an earlier accident there on the outbound Edens, so keep that in mind. If you're getting off at Lake, up near Lake Forest and in that area. No issues coming inbound on the Edens or the Kennedy at this hour. Eisenhower looks okay, too. Stevenson's all quiet. Southside expressways have been quiet. We do have all kinds of closures and exit ramps blocked to downtown because of the rioting that's been going on over the weekend. So the exit ramp on the northbound Stevenson at Lakeshore Drive is closed. 18th Street between Canal and Wentworth Avenue is closed to restrict downtown access. And then all kinds of exits coming off of the Eisenhower, Kennedy expressways and Dan Ryan as well. So keep that in mind. If you're heading into downtown, make sure you map out your entryway, Chief, because as we saw this morning, there's a lot of interesting activity around us. Although we had no issue getting off on Madison and coming down.
Well, what about the guy? Tell a story of the guy who planned ahead. It was in the wreck over at Madison.
Yeah. We saw a rented U-Haul truck that was wrecked right off the expressway.
Actually, it was a rented, Home Depot truck.
It was a U-Haul brand.
Okay, it was U-Haul, right.
Yeah, it was 1999, but it was like a, it was a flatbed truck. It wasn't like one of the big box trucks.
Yeah, Jan, so somebody must have rented one of those to go loot.
Yeah. Weather today, rain in the forecast, a high of 73. Right now it's partly cloudy and 57 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies, hot temperatures, a high of 106. Right now it's clear and 80. And one interesting note on this day in sports history, Chief, 1918, which of course is famous for the Black Sox scandal, those Chicago White Sox lost 5-4 against the New York Yankees. But what was interesting about that game was they loaded the bases in the ninth with nobody out, down one. And Chick Gandil lined to Frank Bauer, who turned a rare game-winning triple play for the Yankees to beat the White Sox 5-4 on this date, June 1st, 1918. Now, yeah. I don't know if they threw that game as well, but...
Do we still have the name of the guy? John, we had a guest, and he wrote the... I think I still have the book, Manny. The Original Scandal. Remember that guy?
Yeah, I remember the guy. I'd have to look up his name, because I don't remember his name off the top of my head. But, yeah, we had him on a couple times.
Yeah, where he's convinced, John, that the Cubs threw the World Series the year before.
And I've heard that theory.
Yeah, yeah. The guy wrote the book, The Original
Scandal.
They were
roped in with the same mob guys.
Same guys. The guy who was one
was
of
that,
the...
Elliot Asimov, the one who wrote Eight Men Out, or... History of the Black...
No. It was a different guy. He actually was a young guy. He was a Boston. He was a Boston guy, right? Because Boston had won the year before the Cubs lost, right?
Yeah.
And he was convinced that they swung it the other way. And who's the guy's name? It was the gambler. The gambler who ended up dying. The gambler died in 1927. All of a sudden, he just fell out of a window in New York from where he had a big card game. What was his name?
Was it
some gambler that rigged all his stuff anyway.
Rothstein? Was it?
Yeah, Rothstein. Yeah, Rothstein. Yeah. He was big on gambling on horses and everything. By the way, this site we were talking about earlier, John, Hey Jackass, which I don't know who does this. I've actually saw an ad for the first time. They're all over this coronavirus thing. So now they have a corona meter, right? And they have the total confirmed cases and then the total deaths. And they call the, what do they call nursing homes?
Slaughterhouses?
Yeah, slaughter homes. And, the average age of people, here's what they claim. Confirmed deaths are recorded as with COVID-19, not necessarily because of COVID-19. So the coronavirus-related deaths in long-term care facilities now make up 48% of the total. The average age is 73.7. They got this poster out here. Maddie, you'd love it. It looks just like something like a Mussolini or a Stalin poster. And they've got Tony Preckwinkle, Laurie, and Jay's picture on the thing, right? And kind of a sketch, black and white. It says, join today, become a Karen, C-A-R-E-N, Chicago Authoritating Reporting Network. your neighbor's business is everybody's business. It says here, join the Chicago Authoritative Reporting Network, Karen. Is your neighbor cutting the grass without a mask and gloves? Do you know of a church holding Sunday services without permission or non-essential politicians? Are you tired of people not living in total fear? If you answered yes to all of the above, maybe it's time to join the Chicago Authoritative Reporting Network, probably displaying this 11-by-7-foot-inch matte-finished poster in the background of your next Zoom meeting or in the window over your shuttered non-essential business. We'll let others know you're not playing. They went $12 to buy the thing. God. You know, it's not that far off. I mean, it really isn't. Whatever. Why all of a sudden are we a population that can't handle the truth? I don't...
We'd much rather, I think, traffic in symbols than in reality.
Yeah.
There's something that's very appealing about the emotional attachment that people can make up to a symbol. And I use the George Floyd story as an example of this. I'm not saying that there's not real sadness and horror here, but given how many people all over the world are invoking him and this incident for their own purposes, I can't believe there's that much emotional attachment in the real sense between him and people in Berlin and Paris and London, where every place where there's been demonstrations. But it's become so much more attractive to have a symbolic attachment, and this is you know, they're virtual relationships in a way that just like social media thrives on, and they're completely detached from reality, and they're not always very healthy either. So once you start making those things priorities, your actual life becomes much more distant and less interesting, and then you get people who are kind of alienated from their own world in a way that where they don't care if they bust things up, they don't care if they don't have a liquor store down the corner anymore. These things aren't in their minds at all. They're in some other dimension, it seems, and looting takes over, and you just kind of lose your grasp on the here and now. So it's extremely tragic and disheartening, and not what I wanted to see happening at this point in my life in my hometown.
Jen, where did this? I'll ask you a question you probably can't answer, but maybe everybody's got a different day in their life. When did this somewhat change? This is not the first time that we've seen something like this. I mean, my upbringing and yours is pretty close to it. You see something like this, you see somebody sit there, and you go, how the hell does somebody put their knee in some guy's neck and not realize that he's in trouble and let up on him? Even if you're pissed off enough to do it for a second, which even that's argumentative, but how do you not realize that you're causing harm? I mean, but anyway, having said that, as much as bad you feel for the person and realize, okay, the Minnesota police, we've got to figure out why exactly, this wasn't the first time this guy did this to somebody. That killed somebody probably was, but he's obviously a bit of an egg before. Why didn't we weed him out? Why did other people seem to protect him? And are there any other people like this that we should have our eye out for? I mean, that's the reaction to it. Okay, from my point of view, and if I was in charge in Minnesota, I would make sure that happens. Okay, because there's always going to be a bad apple someplace. I mean, you're never gonna. But the point is, the minute you spot it, you gotta do what you have to do to fix the problem. People are not perfect; they're not murderers, but they're not. But I'm saying that's the reaction. And I would sit there, and this poor guy, his poor family, I'd feel totally. My instinct would not be to immediately call Matt Weber and AV and whoever else is helping produce the thing. Get my name out there. Make sure that on WBBM tomorrow, they're going to talk about this chief guy wearing a George Floyd armband, like the knucklehead who plays soccer in Germany. I must have heard the guy's name. I don't know who the hell the guy even is. And he wore a George Floyd armband in his game in Germany. Who cares? Who cares? Well, I mean,
but it's all about sloganeering now. And I probably will put my foot in it, but. Anytime I see a video as an artifact becoming a reality, such that you now blame all police everywhere for what is taking place on a video, where to me the murkiness and how this thing actually unfolded, and the questions that haven't been answered about what was going on, that these two people knew each other, the victim and the perpetrator. It makes me think that there's more to the video than what you see. That doesn't mean that something didn't happen there, but I can't tell you from looking at the video what happened.
Right.
And to say that based on a series of moving images, we now are going to turn everything upside down in the name of some kind of amorphous call for justice and truth and everything else is completely nuts to me.
Well, you've got Roger Goodell. What causes Roger Goodell to have to say something? And then if he says something, all of a sudden the baseball guy has got to say something. And then who makes these people? And what do I care?
And Hollywood too. Every clown who's got a social media account feels obligated to preach about this.
And you got to one up the guy who just did it. You got to one up. Why do I care? I mean, I for one feel horrible for the guy. And the weird part of it is, the same, shall we say, veil that is on a lot of these police departments where nobody who should be off the force gets reported is get this guy off the force, is the same veil in the communities where people are being shot down every day where they won't help the police. We're not gonna, it's the same issue. Human beings are the same everywhere. That, and you have to constantly keep accentuating the good part of people and slapping the bad part, right? Because everybody has some have more of the bad, some have more of the good. But it's not like it's the same, these people that I was rattling off the names of people who got killed in Chicago this weekend. 85% of the murders here are unsolved because nobody will help out.
Right. You know, there's no secure crime scene.
No.
People are dropped off at emergency rooms, all shut up. There's been no 9/11 call. The people who are involved in committing the crimes are hooked up with the families of the victims of these crimes in many cases, and they all have dirt on each other, and they don't want to talk to the police in any shape or form. And if you do talk to the police, you're the next victim.
Yeah.
So when you have that kind of culture, I don't think there's a police department anywhere that's licensed by a municipality and has a code of ethics and a quasi-military operation can be depended on to do anything. You're up against things that you're incapable of fighting against and certainly getting the better of. So I just think, you know, it's ludicrous to think that a police department that's composed of real people who know the place that they're policing and have their own emotional attachments to neighborhoods and to history and everything else, that they all of a sudden can become machine-like, dispassionate operatives that will always do the right thing. It's just, why do we expect that of police?
We don't expect it
of other people.
I think that you police are people like everybody else, and there's a lot of good ones and some bad ones.
And it seems like they're not only held to a higher standard, as they should be, because they're armed and they have, you know, power that you and I don't have, but we submit to that because we're residents of a city and we gladly pay their salaries to protect us, and the fire protection, all this stuff we get the benefit of, so we surrender some of what we could do on our own to them because they could do it better, but we expect so much of them that we don't want them ever to step out of line, and when they do, it becomes a global disaster.
Well, and
everybody has to pay a price for it, and I just don't get it.
Why does somebody have to tweet themselves out and be, you know, I think we should, like, fire all policemen or something? Next guy, no, just fire them, let's flog them. I mean, you got to one-up the tweet before you. I mean, why does Roger Goodell have to say anything? What business is this of NFL football?
Nothing. It has nothing to do with it.
It has to do with a cop who's
playing, or a bunch of other, you know, washed-up actors have to get their names out there and stake some territory or insult some politician or whatever else. Who cares what these people think? Why are they talking at all? Why is anybody listening to them?
I don't know, I've seen a couple of times in Chicago where the police acted in a very bad way. I saw it a few times. I mean, one of these days I'll go through the stories because one of them was kind of funny, if it wouldn't have been so tragic. But I've seen, you know, real quick, there was anybody who's ever been to O'Callaghan's it's on Kinsey, I believe. I used to go there all the time. Danny Callahan, who traded right in front of me, owned the place. And I believe the people from Eddie O'Connell and Billy bought the building, and anyway, they have a sparringer. So they, of course, have trouble getting a liquor license, being in Chicago, because they didn't want to pay anybody off. So the place isn't open. It's this perfectly good bar. So Danny says, well, why don't we go over and at least have a party? So we go over there, and, of course, he provides all the beer. It just was beer. He had, I don't know how many kegs of beer he had. And everybody's drinking beer, and no money changed hands, nothing. Nobody's even tipping them. Well, I guess maybe we might have tipped the bartenders a little bit. And all of a sudden, there's like 10 squad cars and a couple of paddy wagons, and they got this old Irish whiskey-nosed guy walks in the front door with the gold on his hat. What does that mean, a captain or a lieutenant or something? The guy hadn't had his fat ass out of a chair in God knows how long. All he knew was this place wasn't paying him off. He must have been in the Chicago district. He walks in with his billy club, walks all the way to the end of the bar dramatically and slams the billy club down and goes, this place is closed. And everybody had to file out of the place. So Jack Callahan says that everybody mind leaving peacefully, you know, whatever. So everybody just walks out without any problem whatsoever. So, of course, the guys on the street are ready with their billy clubs for this huge, you know, expulsion of people pissed off. We're going to be fights all over the place. They're going to arrest everybody. Everybody walks out like perfect gentlemen and just walks down the sidewalk. So I said to one guy, I go, what are you guys doing? And he says, well, we didn't expect this. I said, why? It's a private party. He goes, oh, shit, don't tell me that. I go, well, yeah. He goes, we thought you guys were, like, open and we're not a license. I go, nah. And so everybody walks out and just left. And they're all standing there. And I said, who's going to have to explain this use of personnel? And he goes, well, it's not going to be easy. So sure enough, Danny goes to court, like, a couple of months later. And there's policemen. And imagine what they would do in a murder case. Are perjuring themselves on the stand. They saw the cash register going. They saw credit cards. They saw people, you know. No, they didn't. But they were trying to justify the fact that Danny had opened the place up as a bar, which he didn't. So then, of course, he wins the court case. And then for the next 2 months, every place he had electrical outlets, they made him move it. That kind of crap. You know, these police are not saints under any stretch when you put them in a bind like that. I mean, they're going to protect the fact that they made a stupid decision. There's no doubt about that.
I mean, the 1919 race riot here in Chicago in July 1919 started because a 14-year-old African-American kid, Eugene Williams, drifted across an invisible boundary from an all-black beach to an all-white beach at 27th Street. And this is how the beaches worked in Chicago. There were blacks and whites, but they weren't together. And you didn't cross from one to the other without, you know, expecting to cause trouble to somebody. He got, you know, stoned to death. There was bricks, stuff were thrown at him in the lake. He drowned. The police were called. The police were listening to all the crowds back and forth. He did this, he didn't do this, whatever. And they declined to make any arrests. Because they weren't sure who to arrest. They didn't know exactly what had happened. It was a chaotic scene. So they said that we're not making any arrests. And then it turned into a full-fledged riot. So here you had, you know, the opposite of what happened up in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And then it turned into vigilante justice. And Eugene Williams' family, to my knowledge, never was compensated by anybody. There was never any kind of indictment or grand jury investigation of what happened to him. He's just a casualty in history. But the thing up in Minnesota is going to turn into another show trial a la O.J. and George Zimmerman and Laquan McDonald's shooter. And this will go on for the next 2 to 3 years, and it will play into national and local politics ever more emphatically. And this, now you've got, you know, a mechanism to keep this story fresh and important. And new people get angrier about it. These things have no way of resolving themselves the way the news media and the way people treat them. They become just, you know, opportunities to flag wave and bash people, and it gets all of the mechanisms we have, the criminal justice system, the courts, the police, everything is in the crosshairs. And you can't run a peaceable society when you've got that kind of tension, and you've got, you know, circular firing squads all over the place. I just don't hold out any hope.
I don't think anybody's
going
ever
away or resolving itself peacefully.
But how do you break the other side, though? I mean, John, I know from my dad being a policeman, my uncle was a county policeman, my stepfather's father was a policeman, and he told me that he rode guys with squad cars that every time they stopped, he'd just say, "No, I'll take care of it," because he knew the other guy'd come walking out with a, you know, with a bottle of booze in the guy's cabin or something. I mean, every place he went, he grabbed something, you know, and he said, I wouldn't let him out of the car. Because he was a grumpy old Irish guy, but talk about honest as a day is long. He goes, I don't want to do that. I mean, a policeman don't steal stuff. And I know my grandfather, when the house burned down, the fireman took all his booze. I mean, this is not new that people are imperfect, but my question is, somehow or another, you've got to, I don't know if you go to an honors, what do they call it? The honor system, like you do in the military academies, which they used to have at Notre Dame before us, by the way.
Right.
But where you, if you see somebody doing something, you don't report it, you're just as guilty. But I don't get why. I mean, there was a guy from the training floor, a good friend of mine, I won't say his name, and we'd play on these football teams and stuff, and Larry was a big man. I mean, a big man, but his brother was way bigger than him. I mean, Larry had big, huge shoulders, a strong guy. His brother was just as big but taller than me. He's a big guy. Well, he gets on the police force, and we used to play football, and Larry wasn't a bad player, and, you know, I was doing my part, but this guy was just a mean guy. I mean, you know, if somebody got hurt when he was blocking him, it was a good thing, that type of thing. He ends up on the police force. Well, in his first 2 years, he'd already been, you know, for a couple of 2 week suspensions, he'd already been, at least they put you, you know, filing case files or something, they take you off the street as kind of a, that was the punishment.
Death duty, yeah.
Well, but why, John, after 2 years, when the guy is obviously a problem, do you just say, you know what? Guy's name was Craig. Craig, you know, we just don't think police is right for you. You know, why don't you just go do something else? Be a fireman, or we'll get offer you another city job, we'll do something. But we just don't want you here because we think you're a powder keg, which he was. But I don't know if he's still there, if he retired from there, whether he ended up quitting. I don't know. I lost track of the whole family. But, I mean, after 2 years, it was fairly obvious that he wasn't a fit. And I'll bet if you go back with this guy in Minnesota and you look at his first 2 or 3 years, you'll find out that there were incidents all along the way. But somehow we've got to find a way to clean that up. And I don't know how you do that in a group that likes to, you know, have the veil. I mean, we can't get the mayor to admit a mistake. We can't get a senator to admit a mistake. I mean, somehow or another, I don't know how you break into that. I honestly don't, but we need to, because I'm sure that there's a bunch of guys on the Minneapolis police force this morning sitting there going, I knew this guy was a bleep, and why the hell didn't I say something or whatever that don't like people getting killed? I mean, black and white. I mean, the force can't feel good about this up there. Now, the question is, why is there not a mechanism? Why was he still there? S&P futures up 50 cents, NASDAQ futures down 22. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com. That's AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now. Right here, right now, right now.
something happening here.
Welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. Just met Weber aboard. Mr. Jen Flanagan with us. We have a quiet market this morning, sort of, I guess, surprisingly. NASDAQ futures down 24. S&P futures down a whole dollar. I'm looking at the Dow 30. Really not much. United Healthcare is up $2. That's kind of the only one that's really moving of any kind. JP Morgan's up a dollar. John, it just seems like we have a lot of things that are somewhat unraveling. I talked to my friend from Singapore last night, and he was saying that he can't come back because nobody, he'll never get back into Singapore. When he finally decides he's leaving, and he's going to have to leave and not come back. He's going to have to sell his place and whatever. The international business is amazingly hard to do right now. I mean, some of the things that are going down now, right now we shut down Metra coming downtown. I don't know that you ever give the non-law abiding a victory like that, Jen. I'd have three National Guard people in every car if I had to, but you don't give people that kind of victory. Of course, there's no real reason for the run anyway because there's nobody downtown, but that's another issue. I don't understand the total where our leadership is going. There doesn't seem to be any. Instead of the mayor and the governor blasting out at the president, who seems to have disappeared, this should be one of those times where if you're the president, you're here talking to the mayor and the governor, and you come off with the same story. I mean, that's leadership. I don't know what this is, and I don't know whose fault it is, but it's not anything that is any close to being leadership as I would define it. Would you?
Well, you know, I have to take Lightfoot to task for what she did in calling out Trump by saying she had two words for him, and the first letter was F, and the last letter was U. I'm not saying you can't hold that opinion, or not even that you can't express it, but when you're mayor, and you're going to probably need Trump and federal troops before all this is over, you better be careful what you say. Otherwise, you're no better than the people who are encouraging looters.
Yeah.
I just don't get how these people think this is what their election gave them a mandate to do. I mean, how did they envision the job that they think this is how you give the city the best shot at cooperating to get money from the federal government, to get cooperation, to get troops if you need them, to get somebody to answer your phone call if you need them to answer it? How did it evolve that they can just thumb their nose and they've got cheering squads that are happy they're doing it? I'm thinking, well, you know, I don't need a mayor to behave that way. You know, I don't want an alderman. I don't want a precinct captain to behave that way. So if this is the best you can do, then please get out of the way, because the job is clearly too big for a small-minded person like you.
And
Pritzker is worse, if not, you know, same. So we've got local leadership here that has become enamored of itself and feels it doesn't owe anybody above them or below them anything at all. That they are just insulated completely from how their image is really playing out. And, you know, there's narcissists all over the government from top to bottom, but I think we've got two of the biggest I've ever seen.
Well, I never thought Trump would have rivals. But he does.
He's got them.
But I don't understand the whole concept, and again, this is not is nothing about me. I mean, I ran for my one election. I ran for the thought of finding the people that didn't vote for me and making and if they were in one group to make policy changes to penalize them never even crossed my mind, John. I just thought that people actually voted for me. I'm like, wow,
yeah,
it was pretty interesting to start with. But the president has made no secret of any state that didn't vote for him, he's going to be nasty to him. I mean, he says it weekly. I mean, I'm sure other people. I mean, I guess if you were to go back to, you know, I honestly don't think Bush or Clinton had that kind of vindictiveness in it. I think Obama might have, and I'm sure there's other people maybe that did. I don't even remember, you know, Tricky Dick, where, you know, would have come out by now that, you know, the guy did everything he could to, you know, to give you know, new highways to the Republican states and not the Democrat. But I honestly don't know anybody who ever overtly acted like that, or at least it would tell you to your face that's what they're doing. I mean, Trump has ripped the scab off just about everything. I mean, he will openly admit it. Well, those guys didn't vote for me. Screw them. I mean, I never heard of that from a pre- I mean, how much of that comes from the top or from the bottom up? I don't know where it starts, Jenna. I mean, I have people
on
the show.
I don't think it started with Trump, because when the day after Lightfoot's election, I think one of the first congratulatory phone calls she received was from Donald Trump. And shortly after Pritzker was elected, Trump called him to the White House. He met with the newly elected governors. Pritzker came out singing Trump's praises after that meeting. So I don't know what happened between then and now, but I don't blame Trump entirely for what happened. That's for sure.
I mean, somehow or another, this thing with the COVID and the idea that the federal government didn't take the lead on stuff like masks and the ventilators when everybody thought they needed them, and you had 50 states bidding against each other, and then the federal government coming in and outbidding the states. Somehow that whole mechanism has people left and right on the government and the governor thing pretty bitter on how the federal government operated in that whole mess.
But I'm much more bitter about what Pritzker has done with state money and awarding contracts for the conversion of Westlake Hospital and Sherman Hospital into COVID hospitals that proved completely unnecessary, but his favorite construction company that ripped out the toilets in his homes, they got $1.9 million bucks out of it. The state has nothing to show for that now, but a lot of unused equipment and real estate. And, you know, Pritzker will sail through that scandal like he sailed through the toilet scandal, it seems, but I blame the people up close to me who were wasting my tax money that we need in this state. I don't give a blankety blank about Washington at this point. If we can't trust these people to do better, I don't care what Washington does.
John, they don't seem like they have any idea of the money state they're in. It's like they don't. Well, Trump surely doesn't. He wants an infrastructure program. Well, what's the atomism? But these guys. I mean, I watched in awe as the state was broke under Daley, and Daley was my acquaintance at the club. I liked the guy. Went to his mother's wake, for God's sake. I was stunned by the amount of wrought iron fences that went up citywide. I don't think we need it. I mean, and yet everywhere you turn, if you stood still for a moment, somebody drove a wrought iron fence spike through your head. I mean, where did all that money come from when we were broke? What's his name? The grandfather. Look at all this crap in the streets for bikes and everything else and concrete that was built and this bump, that bump, where there's no room for cars. I mean, all that money came out of somewhere. These guys always can find the money that they want to for something for their people. I mean, same thing with Pritzker and these places. Had to be his construction company. But, I mean, how are they any different than Walsh or Kenny? Right? I mean, how long have they been around? I mean, if he didn't give it to his guy, was he going to give it to Walsh? Who else gets the jobs around here? I mean, there's the government. They're acting like they have money. I mean, how do you shut when your city's broke? How do you shut it down for a day by not letting the metros come in? Because already shut down, I guess it doesn't really matter. But I don't. These guys are on a planet. I don't know what they're thinking about. And then you have Trump, and you have Pelosi, and you have those group. They're talking about an infrastructure program, and we have people in the Federal Reserve guy. When did we get so ignorant that people can't even trust us with any shred of the truth? And I see Jay Powell talking about he needs help from government on the fiscal end. I sit there and go, wait a minute. How stupid do they think we are? What's the deficit there's going to be? Is going to be what? $5 trillion? $7 trillion? I mean, we're talking about fiscal policy on steroids, because it's not for a bridge, it doesn't count. And if we could spin John Maynard Keynes around in his grave, he would say, anytime a government spends more than they take in, that's considered expansionary fiscal policy, correct? And then they would go out and borrow the money. But I'll say this, I haven't said it in a while. Here's how fiscal policy, the strict definition, is supposed to work. Tell me how far away this is from the current deal is. I mean, Johnny, we're not the economics guy, but I think you probably know this. If the government goes out and borrows money from Jan Flanagan or Matt Weber or whoever else, say they borrow $1 million, and then they spend it. Now, why does that create a plus for the economy in the short term? The why is because back when people actually knew what it was, Jan Flanagan and Matt Weber saved on an average of 10 to 20% of their income. Okay? So, but now you can't not do that for a while either, because one of the things that one of the biggest identities in all of economics is savings equals investment. So if people don't save, people can't borrow that money to build stuff. Okay, if I go to get a mortgage from a bank for a building downtown or a factory, and John Flanagan and Matt Weber don't have any savings in the bank, I'm not going to be able to get any money, right? So savings equals investment. So, but what if the government goes out and borrows that $1 million from you and Matt Weber, they're not going to save anything, right? The government never does. So you pick up in the short run, you pick up that 20% into current spending. That would maybe take a while by the time somebody gets the building going and so forth. So you trade off 20% consumption from investment in 1 year, but consumption generally works faster, okay? If you're building a bridge, you're doing something. And by the way, if you're building the Hoover Dam or you're building the Golden Gate Bridge, you might be doing something that actually has, functionality. You open up the entire Imperial Valley for agriculture. You open up entire North Carolina, California to business because now you can live across, but whatever. If you can do that on top of it. But the idea, but in monetary policy is you create money and you sprinkle the infield with money. Well, right now, there's no way that this group, since they're broke, can do fiscal policy. They may think they are by going out and buying the bond from Matt Weber and borrowing the money from John Flanagan and Matt Weber, but the Fed is printing up the money right after them and buying the bond back. So it's all monetary policy right now. There is no fiscal policy because there's no way they can go out and borrow enough to do any good. And by the way, people aren't saving. So the whole economic, Lincoln log house is come tumbling down, in my opinion. So to wherever.
Well, it's been in shambles for decades too. Think about it. If the government at the top, the business community, if it hadn't incentivized giving away national industries such as the auto manufacturers or the steel manufacturers or the medical field, if it hadn't made it more attractive for foreign companies to come in and take that appetite away, from our businesses, offshore stuff, make it financially attractive to get your money out of the United States. So think of all of the money that was thrown at Afghanistan and Iraq and Somalia and every place else that we stuck in our face that we have zero to show for, and we've got a public sector now that is just swollen to gargantuan proportions, and the country still can't get anything done, and they can't do catch up work on what it's going to take to fix what's happened in the last 48 hours. We're going to be looking at businesses that are crapped out for the next generation. They'll never come back, and the policy that has allowed this to happen. I agree that it's terrible now, but it's been terrible for 40 years.
Well, John, why I'm one of these guys that always, instead of talking big numbers, I always like to look at the plight of an individual person or industry and think that the country is the addition of all those people, which is a different way of looking at things than you hear from the national stage now. I don't know. I think my way of looking at it's better, but I don't know what you think, but to me it's the sum of everybody we know and everybody else knows. That's the country, right? We're doing fine here, but oh, by the way, everybody's broke. That's not me. But how is it that the steel companies, and there has to have been, and I can't, in our lifetime since we graduated college, we started out here, the steel industry was pretty spectacular. We had, we had Open Hearth, we had these things that did incredibly good steel. I mean, we got the best bridges, we got the best everything here, and high tensile this, high tensile that. And meanwhile, the people in Europe that we sort of wrecked, we bombed the hell out of World War II, when they built stuff up, and in Japan, because that's where it all started, they decided to try something different from the Open Hearth, right? They had something, I don't know, there's a different word for it, I should know, I did know. They built plants that are a little more modern, okay? So as time went by, our guys are kind of behind the eight ball a little bit. Now, one of the big differences between the two types is that when you see a scrap company, you can make, with the newer technology, can take steel scrap, and other than for something very specialized use, they can put that scrap into their system and they can make anything out of it. They can make bridge girders out of steel scrap, for God's sake. You can't do that in open hearth. I should get one of the guys we play softball with as an expert on all this. Might have a mind when you're on some Sunday, John, because he's fascinating. Yet, I'm going to say, in my collective memory, since we took taxes at Notre Dame, I'm going to say there's been probably 10 different, maybe at least 10 different tax incentives, depreciation, this or something, to get these places to essentially have every incentive in the world to modernize. And yet they still, most of them still haven't, you know. Where'd all that money go? I mean, remember the movie Flashdance?
Yeah.
I mean, if you could keep take your eyes off what's-her-name, which was hard to do.
Jennifer Beale.
Yeah, it was very hard to do. I mean, the steel mill that she was working in, how old was that place? 100 years? Well, they still
Pittsburgh
look like
that. Yeah. Homestead, you know, let's go back to Andrew Carnegie days.
Yeah, I mean, they still look like that, and some of them. And they wonder why, but I'm saying it's not like we haven't had program after, not every year, but every decade there's been a program for people. You know, depreciate the thing over 2 years, do something, to get these guys, where did all that money go? Just in people's pockets? And then 10 years later, you still got the same damn place? I mean, it's not like we haven't tried to help along the way, when I say we, the government. Yet, some places, I mean, this guy, I have to ask him out, he's our softball captain on Sunday morning softball. He can name you the places that he thinks are the only ones that are going to survive. I hesitate to say one of the two, Newcorp or Arkell, I mean, don't buy them because I'm not sure which one. He says they can take the scrap that you get out of one of these metal shredding places, they can make anything. That's why these other guys are out of business, or should be out of business. Because this is the new technology. But it's not like we haven't tried to help, John. We have.
But we were much more aggressive in inviting foreign competition.
Well,
and rolling out the red carpet for it.
We didn't invite it.
That, to me, you know, whether it was the need to have an aggressive trading partner such as China, and look what we've reaped from that relationship. But there were people from every level, from the court system to the Senate to the executive branch, they were all bending over for the Chinese. If it was a Japanese car, it had to be better than our car. And you would get every break when it came to anything that could stimulate foreign investment to drive American companies, not just to make them competitive, but to drive them out of business. So I can't countenance that kind of trade policy.
No, but
you're either working for this country or you're working for somebody else, and it's pretty clear that a lot of the people here were not working for you and me.
Well, the difference, I mean, let's kind of put up a little wall here. I mean, I'm going to have to say there's a difference between, if Carl was here, I know he'd be all over us. I think what happened in regards to Europe and Japan is one set of issues. You know, I think those are maybe even quality issues. The China thing is totally, to me, it's offshoring pollution and slave labor. You know, for let's stay on topic one here for a second. I remember when Japanese cars first came over here, and so do you. I mean, you were never much of a car guy, but I was when I was younger. I mean, I knew a lot about them. I never bought a bunch of them or anything, but Japanese cars absolutely sucked. Maddie, if you went through a Chicago winter, the legendary 240Z, the Datsun, park it outside for a winter, and you sat in it in the spring. You looked like you were the car in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. The thing absolutely rusted around you. But the Japanese continued to learn, and there were huge weaknesses in the U.S. car manufacturing. A lot of them basically sucked. They rusted, and all of a sudden, every year the Japanese cars got better. To one of these days, and by the way, if you bought a Toyota, which I did once, I bought a Toyota pickup truck. The service area was light years better than any American place I ever went. Because my job, when my stepfather used to buy a car, he usually bought an Oldsmobile, was my job, whenever something was inevitably wrong with it, when you bought it, to bring it back. It took all day. Maybe they fixed it. Maybe they wouldn't. Toyota took a whole different world. There was coffee there. There was a nice waiting room. They took care of it. Fixed it once the first time. I mean, they actually, they brought our industry into the 20th century because of customer service. Without a doubt, Jen, the difference in the way those guys operated, even the Volkswagen places, well, they're German, was totally different than the way, if you bought a Chevy and if it lasted more than 4 years without falling apart, you were doing real well. I mean, I'm saying is, but now the China thing is totally different. China to me is people under 18 working for nothing. And by the way, all the pollution over there, and we don't care if our workers die when they're 30. That I don't think we can say Japan and Germany did the same thing on that. If anything, Germany was better their employees than we were. Right?
But you know, Japan got where it was by dumping, by giving stuff away to get a competitive edge. And it's the same thing that China has done. I mean, that's why you buy a microwave at Walmart for X number of dollars, because that's what China and Walmart have worked out that they can sell the thing for, and it's far less than you'd pay for a microwave that didn't come from Walmart or China. But we've got cooperation in industries here and in China and Japan and God knows where else, where we gladly accept their subsidized junk.
Well, okay, but
we don't subsidize the junk.
Again,
occasionally we do with the bailout of the auto industry, but by and large, it was comparing apples and oranges. It never was a fair level playing field.
All right, I'm gonna dig at you here a little bit. I love arguing with Jan. He's so hard to argue with. I'm gonna get him here, Maddie, with my cost accounting knowledge. I remember these questions like they were yesterday, because I knew I was in front of a person who was famous, and I should remember all the answers. Somebody asked Milton Friedman one day about dumping. And he goes, what do you mean by dumping? And of course he's asking the same thing to this guy I'm asking you. If somebody's actually willing to sell us something for $50 that takes $60 to make, I mean, and then he goes, a real $60 to make. Like there's, you know, there's $60 worth of steel in the thing, at anybody's price, and by the way, we'll sell it to you for 40. He goes, buy it. if somebody's that stupid and is willing to tax their people to sell you something $20 cheap, buy it. He goes, but if it's because they pay their CEO $200,000 a year and you pay yours $20 million, he goes, that's not dumping. That's efficiency. There's a difference. And I don't know, sometimes when people talk about them dumping, I mean, if I'm sitting there fat and happy, I mean, are the people who are selling us drugs over here cheaper, are they dumping because the head of their place, unlike the head of Merck or somebody here, isn't making $50 million a year? Is that dumping because they don't pay their people up top so much?
Well, it's our technology with the drug companies. That's a little different. We've offshored it and given the manufacturing end of it away. And we, you know, what we pay for drugs compared to what Canadians pay or anybody else pay has nothing to do with fair pricing or trade or anything more. It's just gouging. But what I'm talking about is where you had industries that we were perfectly comfortable giving them access to American markets, giving them, you know, tariff-free, bring anything you want in, and you had, you know, things that went into the pricing of those goods that was designed long-term to get rid of those industries in the U.S. And sure, people saved $10 on a microwave here or $1,000 on a car there, but if they really thought, gee, the long-term effect of this kind of policy is that we won't have any domestic cars anymore, and then the manufacturers can charge whatever the hell they want. And that's clearly where we are now.
Well, I'm going to...
So it's all about, you know, sure, if it's cheaper, buy it, but you're also giving away a lot of your kids' and grandkids' futures, too. So I guess people decided that was worth the trade-off because there's a cheap microwave that I need today, and I don't disagree, Jen.
All I'm saying is with every single issue, and we try and do this on the show, and you do too. I just always like to give you crap.
It's okay.
I mean, there's always a difference, okay? And I'm with you on the part that as long as somebody's blue jeans, and I said 2 weeks ago, when I get my Duluth trading catalog, there used to be a page in there for blue jeans made in the USA. They were $10-$20 more. Obviously, they didn't sell squat. They're not in there anymore. Okay, now I know that the blue jeans being made, I suspect that the blue jeans being made over there, people are making less money than they're making here. They're probably underage. They surely got no benefits. And the place probably stinks like hell. It's polluting the hell out of the place. Okay, and I don't agree with any of that. Yet I think a lot of our industries and other industries got so fat and happy here that just regular kind of, I mean, look at Commonwealth Edison. Okay, now I guess they're happy. If you take the top 100 people at work there and look at a competitive wage, what do you think they are? Triple? I mean, that's their idea of worth it. Yet if we run, as soon as we run a, an electric line to Wisconsin, guess what? It's cheaper, right?
Well, it's a monopoly.
Yeah.
As are all the utilities. So.
But, I mean, I think our auto companies got to be a monopoly, where we're when the union would strike one, and then they'd get back in business, they'd pay the union more. It's back when you actually had people making cars. And all of a sudden, all three of them were paid a union the same way. And the guys in Japan or Germany, I don't think they pay their people any less. All of a sudden, they're a little more efficient. They say, of course, you know, that here our car is better or something. I'm saying we get to the point where there's areas that were monopolies or cartels were the best thing that happened to us with some foreign competition. That, to me, is somewhat healthy, where they're actually paying their people and stuff. I don't think the stuff with China, we're talking about, you know, offloading child labor and pollution, that's not healthy. I mean, but there's differences. Every industry is different, I think, is all my only point.
Right. Well, you know, I just think that there were clearly people who were pushing, you know, buying patterns and emotional attachments or lack of attachments to, you know, buying American goods. And I was always a proponent. You know, I buy American whenever I can. And, of course, I've now looked around in stores and found that even if I want to buy American, I'm going to have to go to another store because there's nothing in here made in America.
Did you hear the story of the family that wanted to buy nothing from China all year? They made it to June. And you know the product they failed on? They couldn't find one that wasn't made in China?
I'm afraid to ask.
It was like one of those blow-up swimming pools. But they made it to June, but they said the hardship was incredible. I mean, you go to IKEA, you can't buy a shot glass, you can't buy a glass. I mean, you can't buy anything like that that isn't in China. This is 10 years ago, and it was even worse.
Well, you know, I'm one of these people. I guess I'm just kind of a diehard emotionalist.
Oh, me too. Me too.
I don't want to be owned by China. I don't want to be owned by anybody. I'd rather be owned by, I guess, the Pritzker family in the long term. But, of course, their allegiances are to China, as are most of the political parties these days. So there is no way you can escape this kind of tyranny. Your elected officials don't have any allegiance to the average person. It's about getting the best deal for them.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, the consumer is the last person to be
absolutely
considered in all this. So I've kind of, like, accepted it as the way the world operates. But I sure don't like it, and I get unnerved when I see the long-term effect of it. I'm going to see it within my lifetime, too, and I hoped it wouldn't happen this soon, but it is happening. So.
John, we got a dash now. Just remember, if you're going out to protest with your Molotov cocktail, make sure you have your mask and keep your social distance.
6 feet apart from the rioters, because, you know, that way they can't pick your pocket or punch you. So.
If the policeman comes over to bop you on the head, say, you're too close, and where's your mask? S&P Futures down 3. Is that Futures down 35? Be right back, Mr. David Adelman.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar.
To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks,
stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, everybody. Stocks and jocks. I'm Tom Howie. Mr. Brent Weber. Mr. David Andelman in a second. S&P futures now down 6. We've been at the flat line pretty much all morning. NASDAQ down 43, so we've dipped down a little bit here, but nothing crazy crazy. Dow's up 1. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX. Last trade was 529, so that's Friday, so they're closed. FTSE up 53, that's 0.9%. Kakarana 49, that's a full 1%. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei up 184, that's 0.8%. Shanghai up 63, 2.2%. Hang Seng up 771, that's 3.3%. So bullish over there. Bonds, 0.68, it's up, 10-year yields up 0.3%, 0.03%. Bund minus 0.40, so that's actually a tick up as well, actually four ticks up. Japan positive 0.005. Gold is down 560, but still 1746. Silver up another 17 cents, 1867. I had a little bit of a winter in silver Friday when I thought I was dead, so that was nice for the good guys. Oil down 22 cents, 35.27, but Brent up 22 cents, so let's say the oil market is flat this morning. Natural gas down 8 cents, RBOB gas unchanged, so not much going on there. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Nice and quiet on the area expressways. No issues at all coming in on the Edens or Kennedy. Eisenhower, Stevenson looking good. Southside expressways are all quiet, as are the suburban tollways. We do have a ton of exit closures into downtown, as has been reported over the last 2 days, though when we came in this morning, we didn't see any of that, so not sure how accurate it is, but we are seeing closures from Lakeshore Drive to the Dan Ryan to the Stevenson to the Eisenhower and then the Kennedy as well, with the inability to get into downtown off of any of those expressways. And that's the only red we're showing on the map right now. Weather today, lots of clouds throughout the day. Could have some rain later on, a high of 73. Right now it's overcast and 58 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 106 today. Right now it's clear and 81. Chief.
If you're going to Go to the Metra stop today, pack a lunch, because you won't find a train.
Yeah, Metra suspended service for the entire day.
Yeah, pretty bizarre. South Shore, that weren't running either in Indiana. So China reportedly says Trump's plan to leave WHO shows U.S. has become addicted to quitting. What do you think of that, Manny? Addicted to quitting. David, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
All right. How do you trade riots? Is good for insurance companies or what? Everybody, you know, looters?
I can't imagine it's good for insurance companies, but, you know, it's... The markets took a beating overnight. I mean, you know, you said they were, and no offense, but I mean, you said they were hugging the flat line this morning. I mean, the S&P's down, whatever, 3 or something like that, but they were down another 30 handles overnight.
Yeah, I saw that last night.
Down 30-something. It was down over 100. The Dow futures were down 300 at their lows. And the Russell was down like 20 handles. So, I mean, they did respond negatively, at least, you know, from yesterday late afternoon, early evening when the futures opened to, you know, sometime early in this morning and then recovered.
And until they figured out that I checked the other day, which don't reserve, we're supposed to check, David, in the last 3 months at an annual rate, what do you suppose that our money supply M2 is growing at a yearly level?
25%.
46.
Well, that's annualized, though. But in absolute terms, what did it actually grow in the first quarter?
Well, divide 46 by 4.
And all right, so 11.5.
Yeah, which is a real number.
Yeah, real number, huge. But wasn't there a period, a monthly period? You follow this, and you know, you gathered a little bit of a following since you were the only one, you know, in America that was following it since the 80s or 90s when everyone followed it. But somebody on the tube said something like over a month period, the same month in 2019, that it had grown 25%.
Well, I'll look at it right now. The H6 release, which comes from... Well, I'll give you the unadjusted numbers for the April 2020 not seasonally adjusted M2. It's up $1.1 trillion in a month.
Unbelievable! Well, that is unbelievable.
Yeah, with a 16 base. So, what is that? 5% in a month? I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, we're talking, you know, numbers that are just staggering.
Yeah.
And to the point where, I mean, I know that I'm never going to get, well, at least never, not for a long time, and hopefully I don't have to keep saying this for a long time. It's not about the stock market going up, David. It's about the dollar going down.
Yeah.
And, you know,
these are unprecedented times. I sat with a fellow last night, really good fella, professional, you know, has two of his own businesses, and, you know, I wouldn't say wildly successful, but very successful. And, you know, two kids in their early teens, and you know, and I mean, he wasn't crying because he's, you know, doing well and has a, you know, nice home in the suburbs and the like, but you know, he was just remarking, I mean, with real, he was, you know, thankful for his, you know, fortunate position to be away from race riots and have, you know, a good living and that kind of thing. But on the other hand, you know, his kids are very, very talented, you know, athletically and dance and song and whatever, and just be over the top brilliant and whatever, and just between losing graduations and losing their recitals and losing their, you know, ability to do athletics and, you know, ability to be with friends at camp and, you know, whatever, just depriving, you know, them of experiences that they had hoped, you know, and worked very, very hard, because he was somebody, you know, who had economic disaster, declaring bankruptcy, and come back through his own hard work, you know, that he had hoped to provide for his kids. And, you know, whether it's a year, 2 years, who knows what it'll be, but you know, it's just, you know what, it's affected everybody.
It has, and I don't think a lot of it, again, I've said a bunch of times, I don't, as somebody who's absolutely never been afraid to make a trade, the idea, the only difference between a mentality of somebody who's a trader and somebody else is that, as a trader, I'm going to go along the spread. Hopefully, once in a great while, it just goes straight up, and I couldn't screw it up if I wanted to. Okay, that's right. That's one out of 100 times, right? Or I'll go short Facebook today. All of a sudden, I buy some puts in Facebook, and the minute I do, the thing stops trading and opens up $100 down. Well, that's nice. I couldn't bleep that one up if I wanted to, right? I'm going to say that's happened maybe once in 40 years, right? I mean, whatever you do, especially if it's a complicated situation, is never going to be perfect. So it's
no, I get it. And you know, the times when I'll just speak for my own, when all of a sudden, you know, you pick a top or you say, hey, this is enough, you know, or pick a bottom and this is enough, and you happen to be correct. I'm going to be honest. I'm very often happy to grab the money if it gives you a 1 day, 2 day thing where you can make 5% in a day or two. And, you know, I was hoping for 30%, but over, or 20%, you know, over 2 or 3 months. Hey, if you annualize it, I'd rather take the 5% in a day or two.
Yeah, but when I see people that are this incredible responsibility and I see the positions they're in and the decisions they make, you will never get me to say that the decision on March 16th, when they thought the hospitals would be overwhelmed by the virus, to stop for 15 days and see where the hell you land and send people home, you will never get me to criticize that decision, ever. You know, yet as time went by and it started to not happen, to not adjust as you went, the first day you open the golf courses and say, oh, God, you can't open the driving range. Well, first of all, Maddie, when was the last time you were at a driving range where you were within 6 feet of anybody? Who the hell wouldn't want to be within 6 feet of me when I'm swinging?
No.
I mean, at some point, you'd say...
Especially me to the sides of me.
So yeah.
It always either goes left or goes right, yeah, or rarely goes straight.
I'm lucky I don't whack the guy in the back of the heel of his left foot next to me the way it is. I mean, at some point you say, okay, wait a minute, we might as well open the driving ranges too, or... When I go to a putting green, I don't know if I'm just antisocial. If there's five guys there putting at their holes, I'm going to go find a hole nobody else is putting at, right?
Right.
As time goes by, we become wedded to our I won't say dumb decisions, but we become wedded. They're way too complicated. We've said this how many times on the show, Maddie? It seems like when I was younger, Congress would, maybe it wasn't routine. I was never a Congress expert or anything. Where they'd pass a law, and a year or two later, they'd go back, especially a big revenue law, and there was a name for it, where they'd go back and say, okay, well, this little clause sucked, and this one didn't do what we wanted to do, and this one, and they would kind of tidy the thing up. There was a name for it, David, that I can't, I mean, if one of our lawyer guys was here, I don't see people doing any of that stuff anymore. And to me, when you're in a position to make big decisions, you're constantly reviewing and tweaking it as you go. But now, I don't know if it's society or whatever it is, these guys become slave to this. I mean...
I'm not sure I'm understanding what you're saying.
I'm saying is, we have to be 6 feet apart even if nobody got the virus in the last month, because that's what we say we're going to do. I mean, we can't realize that, okay, the mattress stores are closed, but people can buy a mattress at Sam's or Menards. Well, why are we screwing the mattress stores when guys are going somewhere else? We got something against those stores or mattresses? I mean, what I'm saying is, as time goes by, you should always be reviewing what you did and adjusting as you go. And I don't see these people doing it. Oh, no, I said we can't open a Blue Jeans store till July 1st. It's going to be July 1st. Yeah, but Jay, they just sold 100,000 pairs of Blue Jeans at Target. Well, that's okay. Target can do it. They sell food. What's that got to do with anything, you idiot? Remember, right? I mean...
No, I know what you're saying. The same standard doesn't apply for everything. I mean, like what you're talking about, you know, 6 feet on a driving range or, you know, some other social activity. And yet, you know, supposedly for whoever is traveling on airlines, it's the same, you know, it's the same quote unquote standard. And yet they've actually measured where, you know, somebody sneezes without a face mask because they couldn't breathe with the face mask, so they took it down, and somebody coughs or sneezes or whatever. Supposedly, they've measured that the aerosol, you know, travel of you know, virus could be 12 feet in either direction.
Yeah, except for the fact that there was no study saying that the amount of, I'll use the term, liquid that got there was, it had enough virus in it to infect anybody. They didn't, there was no study.
No, yeah, I get what you're saying.
Anyway, David, how do you because there's so much money in the system, I honestly believe for a while here, we're going to have to stay at least sneaky long. I mean, I made some money last week doing something I never do. I bought some out of the money calls in two spots because I just thought the two places were not participating. And on Friday afternoon, I made money on both of them. That hasn't happened in so long, I can't even begin to think about it now. But yet, I really do believe we're getting very close to, even with our lion sack of bleep government, we're going to get a CPI number that's going to be 3% one of these months, or 2.5%. You know, all of a sudden, the Fed's going to have pause and say, hey, Mr. President, I know you want us pouring money in here, but we can't do that. This is important to us. I mean, there's going to be a number here that this inflation is just going to be out of hand. Because when you start talking 45% money supply growth, I don't care who you are. In the today's world of the new economics or the new monetary theory, that's inflationary, David. I mean, is it any chance that it won't be?
No, I get it, and I agree, and that's why, you know, it was, say, the last 9-10 months when you were talking about that and your commercials and whatever, you know, I just kind of looking up at what was happening in the injection of money supply and the like, I said to myself, you know what, you tend to be neutral to bearish, you know, gold and whatever. Well, it's not time to do that anymore. So, you know, that's what turned me, you know, bullish on gold, and I still am. I think it's 1750 in a front month future that, you know, it probably belongs once there's realization of the inflation figures you're talking about. It probably belongs at 1900.
Why, I have a question for you, and you're kind of uniquely qualified to answer this. Why is the spread between the actual silver contract and the SLV, it used to be about a buck, and now I think it's way more than that. Is that something we should expect to catch up, or is that just going to be like that?
I wish I could answer that, but I don't have the knowledge. I don't know if it's an actual storage issue, or, you know, I would expect that just the supply of physical affects it. Perhaps, you know, it can't be, you know, an interest rate issue because interest rates are so low. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, when the SLV was 1450, I'll say, the future was 1560, 1555, I think. This is a foggy memory, but this morning silver is 1866, and this SLV is 1698. I mean, we're talking a dollar, you know, we're talking 10% almost of a discount.
Yeah, that's big time.
That's a lot. I mean, I would have, yeah. You know, I that's why I went long silver on Wednesday. I bought some tiny little spread at 4 cents, David, and I thought I was dead and buried on this. And I'm like, well, there's a guy who's trading in front of me in the pit, Kenny Kelly, I'll use his name, who knows if he's even still alive. He said, it's one of those spreads where, you know, just where you can lose and always lose it.
Right.
How's that for a statement? Anyway, but all of a sudden, Friday afternoon, I ended up selling it for 12 cents. It doesn't sound like a lot, but hey, you know, better than
a
sharp
stick.
Yeah, right? Better than a sharp stick in the eye. And now it's up today, 32 cents. Now,
huge resistance, yeah. Front month July contract at 19. If it gets over 19, I mean, it could go to 23. Oscillators are pretty extended. And I mean, there are some divergences. In other words, price momentum oscillators are stalling, even with the front month, you know, going through the roof. So I would be cautious. I mean, I'd almost, you know, on this rally or just a little bit higher, I'd maybe even take some money off and buy it back on a close over. A close over 19 would be absolutely enormous. You got two or three major, major cycle highs, you know, at 19. One back, you know, the end of February, and went back the middle of last September. But, and if it gets over there, I mean, I'm not kidding, it could be $4, $4.50 easily. But if it fails from there, and that's the problem with being long here, it could go back, there's unfilled gaps down to about 1620. It could go there and be good.
I'd be hard pressed to do that with the money supply donors. I'm just curious. I, like I say, I'm a little more cautious here as I was than I was at 15. But I just, if silver stayed right here at 1867, the future, I'd feel better if I thought the SLV is going to go up another 40 cents because it's too low here. But I don't know if it's going or not.
I don't know. I don't know the issue there. I wish I did. I don't know the mechanics there. But, you know, since they, I think it's like gold, isn't it, that they actually store the physical?
That's the idea. Why is silver?
I don't know if they don't have it, or, you know, and that's why it's a little undervalued, or there's some kind of storage issue. I mean, that would be my suspicion, but I don't know.
Why is silver seem to be running up percentage wise faster than gold? Is it just a catch up, or what?
Yeah, and you know what? It's why did the Nasdaq, you know, the last part of last week, you know, in the stay at home stocks, you know, break when the and the cyclicals, you know, rally, you know, whatever. Let's get rid of all the top performing stay at home stocks. We'll buy the stuff that's lagged, the banks, the even the cruises, the airlines, the this, the that, you know, whatever. And so there was is basically, I'm not saying that I agree with it because in general I don't, but we'll dump all the good stuff and finance the purchase of all the bad stuff because instead of staying at home, economies are reopening, and so all this stuff, construction, travel, homes, you know, this, that, the other, are going to revitalize, and that's what's been penalized.
Well, they make it.
That's why.
Well, normally when you do these kinds of things, and this is what, I mean, as everybody knows, I manage a Protect Index program, and I've had some, well, I should have more, because a lot of people should be very worried about their stuff right now, and you know, I'm getting clients every week, but buying, but the phone should be ringing off the hook. And so I have time to deal with a couple more, and so does David. But the, you know, what's weird, David, is that people ask me, what do you think the return's going to be this year? And of course, you can't say what it's going to be. A, you're not supposed to, and B, you wouldn't anyway, because how the hell can you tell anybody? But what I do tell people is, for the first time, honestly, David, in my whole career, how well somebody's account is going to do, and it's always a big discussion when I have a client come in, what indices do you want to be involved in? And I'll show the how different ones have performed over the last year and what's in the different ones. This one's more high flyers. The difference in which one you pick, David, is dramatic in the last couple
of years. Oh, God. I mean, the Russell's the best example.
Yeah.
I mean, it trailed for the vast majority of 15 months. And then it had, you know, 1 2 to 3 week period where it sharply outperformed. Then it fell back. Then 2 weeks ago, it outperformed again. And then, you know, was iffy last week, but came back and, you know, somewhat outperformed at least the NASDAQ and trailed the Dow. So, I mean, when you get, I don't know if it's pushing buttons or baskets or, you know, hedging against the futures, you know, arbitraging or whatever. But the way the portfolio rotation, some people would like to call it rebalancing. I don't think so. It's portfolio rotation on an electronic balance, on an electronic methodology is so quick and so fast that, as you said, if you were to say, hey, look, you know what? The Russell's trailed the vast majority of the last 16 months. I'm going to just buy IWM and put it away, and that's all I need. You're going to either be very right or very wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the stuff that I've been trading for a lot of my clients. Yeah, I'm in and out of this stuff. So there's a GDX, which is the gold miners index, which is the one I like. GLD is the actual ETF on the gold. Then there's SLV, which is a ETF on the silver. And then there's FCX, which is Freeport MacMoran, which used to be almost all copper, and then they bought a gold company, so they're probably, what, I don't know, David, 25% gold, 75% copper. Well, in the last week or two, GDX, which is the gold miners, has gone down. Okay, FCX, because copper's going nowhere, has gone down or hasn't gone anywhere. It just totally died. The GLD is up just a little bit, and the silver is to the moon. How would, I mean, these are in four stocks in commodities that are roughly the same area, yet they're not performing at all roughly the same. I mean, last week,
the only argument that, you know, I have is because traditionally, and I've argued against this for many years, is that, you know, whether it's money supply or CPI or whatever it is, you know, people, a lot of folks and analysts, you know, look for gold and silver and for that matter even platinum to go in the same direction. And silver is really not a precious metal other than, you know, perhaps, you know, a little bit in the jewelry industry. It's just not really a hedge. It's much more of an industrial, you know, metal. And so to the extent that you're looking for, you know, hedge protection against inflation, you know, or debt or money supply or any of those things, I think gold is still the better hedge. To the extent that you believe that...
David, we got a dash. I agree with you 100%. In the last week, silver's up and the other ones are down. I don't understand it either. I'm just glad I was long some silver. I don't care. David, we'll talk to you on Thursday. But S&P futures down 6, NASDAQ futures down 37. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jocks.
Hey, guys.
What's up, G?
Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
Oh, it's a little early.
I gotta get out of here. I think I'm gonna lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.